Hi everyone, Drew Prode here, host of the Broken Brain Podcast. Today is Big Idea Tuesday, where I share a thought, a distinction, an idea, or ideas, plural, that have radically transformed my life for the better. Today, we're talking about business. We're talking about business. Five things I tell anyone looking to start a business or a side hustle in today's current state. We are in the midst of, officially, as I've read the news, a recession. Many people have lost their jobs through the coronavirus pandemic and the economic effects that it's had. By the way, my heart goes out to everybody who's in that position right now. And the interesting thing about a recession, as challenging and as sad as it is, one thing that we do know from looking at the last recession that we were in 2008, 2009, et cetera, around that time, is interestingly enough, a lot of people, a lot of my friends that are in business, including myself, they started companies during this time. They started a side project. They started a side hustle. And whether or not those things worked out, they eventually led them down the path of trying something new. So that is maybe the silver lining in this period, is that in a time of great flux where things are changing, it causes people to question what they're involved in, question what they're doing, what they're giving their love and attention to. And sometimes people get excited to start something new. Now, I'm of the belief that not everybody should be an entrepreneur. Not everybody needs to be an entrepreneur. You can get a lot of joy from your day job and the things that you do. And there's a lot of great companies that are out there that people work for. And you may not love your job, but you like your job. And that allows you to spend time on the things that you care about on the side. You know, I think about my dad. My dad worked at a psychiatric hospital for many years. He was a CFO of a group of them in Delaware. And my dad is an incredible, you know, human being. And he gives so much back to his equivalent of like the church community, the Hindu temple that he was part of in the state of Delaware. They've since moved on from Delaware and live now in California with me and my siblings over here. But I think about my dad. My dad, I would say, you know, he liked his job a lot. He liked his job. He probably didn't love his job in terms of the day-to-day work he did, but he loved the people. And the thing is, his job allowed him to spend time when he was not doing it because of its security, the way that it was set up. His job allowed him to go give love and attention and energy to the other things that he really cared about. So we don't always need to go and have our start a business or do that to be fulfilled. We can get that meaning out of our day job. But every so often, people get to a place where they get a little itch or they really dislike the work that they're doing and they want to create something that doesn't exist. So they want to create something on the side. And how I know that a lot of people are thinking about this is that I've been doing these 10-minute calls just for fun as a chance to get to connect with the community. And I open them up in little blocks. I've done probably like 60, 70 of them now. If you're interested, by the way, you can text me 302-200-200-5643, 302-200-5643, and tell me you're interested in hopping on the phone sometime when I open up some of these time slots. It's really an opportunity to connect, get a chance to know the community, hear about what people care about. Anyways, in doing a few of these calls, many of the people that I've been talking to have been expressing that this pandemic and the slowdown in the economy, in some cases, people losing their job, or in some cases, people just questioning what they're involved in, has put them in a place where they are wanting to start something new. A new company, a new business, a new side hustle, whether that's, you know, trying to become a coach or whatever it might be. Now, the thing is, in most of those calls, I find myself giving the same five pieces of advice that I wish I gave, that I wish I knew when I started my first business, my first business that I started when I dropped out of school in the year 2004. And I was working on this tech company that I started in my college apartment. I didn't implement a lot of these things that I'm about to tell you here on the podcast, and I suffered greatly from it. Hindsight is 2020. I don't regret any of it. I couldn't have learned without taking that leap. But then after falling on my face many times, and understanding and asking myself why and what is it that successful people do when it comes to thinking about starting a new business or a side hustle, I developed these five principles, five ideas that I started to practice and share with other people. And when I went into my second business that I built in the midst of a recession, actually, 2008, right when the stock market crashed and the world was going through its housing crisis that it was facing, and a lot of people were dealing with unemployment, not nearly what we're facing right now, but still pretty bad. I ended up practicing these things, and I brought them into a business that I started called the Clean Program with another functional medicine doctor named Dr. Alejandro Younger. And it was a huge part of what ended up having that business become wildly successful. So these are things that I have both been on the side of practicing and not practicing. And here's the thing. Even if you're not interested in business, so to speak, you're like, well, Drew, I don't really care about business. I don't want to start a business. What you'll find is this. Why I love Big Idea Tuesday, and why I think you'll love this Big Idea Tuesday, is that even if you don't want to start a business or a side hustle, these principles are key principles, fiscally conservative principles that you can bring and apply to any project in your life that you care about. It could be principles that you teach your kid where for their school project. It could be that you're involved in a church or spiritual community that's doing some really great work and making a difference and investing and trying to improve people's lives. And you might bring these principles to that project or get a chance to try them out. So these are more about the big picture themes and the why behind these principles than they are necessarily about business. But of course, they're in the context of business. So without further ado, I'm going to jump into it. If you like this podcast, text me 302-200-5643. The last thing I want to say about texting is I know I didn't get a chance to get back to many of you. I've switched my number and moved to a new platform, which makes it so much easier to respond. The interface is way better. I moved to this platform called community.com, and I've been super excited because it just allows me to send voice notes back to people. So sometimes somebody sends me a long text or wants some thoughts or advice, and it takes me forever to type it back, but now I can send them a voice note or I can send them a video. It's easier for me to see which text messages are unread. So if you've never texted me before because you're like, he's not going to respond, know that I'm spending about hour to 2 hours a day responding to as many people as I can, which so far, cross my fingers, has been everyone. And if you text me, I'm going to get back to you. 302-200-5643. Here we go. Five big ideas. Five things I tell anyone looking to start a business in the midst of a recession, pandemic, whatever it might be. So let's start off with the first thing. The first principle and the first big idea that I share with people is that in most cases, it's not a good idea to quit your day job or have no income going into a business. So let's think about this for a second. Sometimes people call me up and they say, I really want to start this new thing. So my plan is I'm going to quit my day job and then I'm going to work on this thing. And then one day, you know, a few months, maybe 6 months, it'll be successful. Now, for every one success story that you've heard where somebody bets the farm, so to speak, or builds a company on credit cards and doesn't have any money saved up. For every one success story that you've heard like that, and there are some out there, there are 1,000 more stories of people who've completely crashed and burned or given up on their business idea because they didn't give themselves enough runway. Here's what I know. I know that most people, especially if you're listening to this podcast, most people are smart. Smart enough. Here's what I mean by that. There may be things that you don't know, but given enough time, you could figure it out. That's what I feel about most people. So when it comes to thinking about starting a new business or side hustle, it's really about time. Time is going to be the thing that's on your side. If you have patience and you can give yourself enough time or buy enough time, that'll give you more opportunities where you can try to continue to pivot to make the business successful. One of the reasons I don't like when people completely quit their jobs and then go and start working on a business is because two things end up happening. Number one, it puts an extreme amount of pressure, which sometimes can be good, right? But it puts an extreme amount of pressure on somebody who, if it's their first time starting a business, sometimes I see people, I would say more than half of people, end up caving in and end up stopping because it feels like too much pressure and they're not sure what they want to do exactly or how to do it. So number one, it creates too much pressure. Number two, you end up cutting your runway short because you have limited funds compared to if you would have kept your day job that's there. Now, the thing is that sometimes people are in a day job that they like. I can think about a lot of people who I talked to on the phone. They had jobs that they liked. They didn't love them. And so for them, it's like, okay, I like my job. I work with good people. I have a good boss. I have a good team. And I want to do something on the side. Well, that's a great reason to potentially, again, to potentially keep your day job and then see if you can work on this business idea on the side. Now, sometimes people are not in that fortunate situation and they're involved in a job that actually is sucking the life out of them, or they've been let go. I would still say in that case, because businesses, creating a business, even if it's a small project like becoming a coach or doing something else, they tend to cost money in the beginning to get set up. And it's a good idea that even if you don't like your job, even if you hate your job, even if you've gotten fired from your job, which again, I'm so sorry if that's happened to you or you've been let go, it's a good idea to have a side gig or something that you can do, whether it's a job or two jobs, that can at least keep some consistent income coming in. And that will lower the pressure around the next thing. You're trying to make sure you have enough pressure by creating deadlines, by having a strong why about why you want to start this business. Why does it matter? What kind of product or thing are you trying to create to give back to the world? What are you trying to create for yourself or your family? What kind of employment? You know, a big motivating factor for me is creating jobs. I'm fortunate enough to be in a place where I have a few companies now with my business partner, Dr. Mark Hyman, and we employ over 63 people right around there. That brings me a lot of joy and happiness to know that I can create jobs and meaning and purpose doing great work and help people provide for them and their families, right? That gives me a lot of meaning and a lot of why. So once you get clear on that why and you have a strong why and you're thinking and you're debating about whether or not you want to leave your job to go start this thing, I would say in most cases, it's not a good idea to leave your job completely with no income and then say, I'm going to go and work on this new business idea, whatever it might be. Now, here's the thing. Even if you're somebody who has a year of expenses saved up, a year of expenses that are saved up, and you're saying like, Drew, but I have a year of expenses saved up. You know, I want to quit my job and I want to go for it. Great. I mean, you could do anything that you want to do. Here's what I've seen. I'm going to share with you what I've seen from giving advice to people. I don't do coaching. I don't do consulting. It's just that friends call me up sometimes and people ask me, how did you get started? So I give advice. So I hear from people every so often who have saved up money 6 months to a year, and they have an idea around something they want to do, and they want to quit their job to go pursue that. Now, the tendency is, I would say that the majority, this means more than 50% of people, if this is their first business that they're doing, and if they're only working on it themselves, or they're working with another business partner who it's their first business, I see something very interesting. A lot of times people think that they can start a business if they have, it's just all about economic resources. So if I have enough money saved up, then I can go and start the business because I have the capital. But the number one thing that trips up first-time entrepreneurs, first-time people who are involved in business, is actually not capital, it's fear. We get stuck in fear. We have imposter syndrome come up. We have doubts. We're not sure exactly the right way to go. We don't pivot quickly enough. Fear gets in the way, and things take longer than we expect. Anybody who's built a home, I haven't, but I've heard from a lot of my friends, anybody who's built a home or worked on a project that is a pretty big undertaking knows that in most cases, things that are worth doing take longer than we expect. They take longer than we expect. So even when I hear people say that they have 6 months worth of savings, it's like, great, keep that money. You might need some of that money to invest in, but if you can constantly cover at least your base expenses with some sort of regular income coming in, then that's going to take off some of the bad pressure that usually drives people towards fear that ends up crippling them and having them not move forward. So instead of quitting your day job and having no income when it comes to starting this business, whatever it might be, I always tell people, keep your day job if you don't hate it and you like it, right? That's in most cases. Again, remember that this is all individualized and contextualized to you. There's a lot of different reasons that you might decide that leaving your day job is important for you. But I would say in most cases. Number two, if you don't like your day job, get something on the side, do some consulting, do some work, pick up whatever it is that you want to do, right? Delivering pizzas or whatever it might be, anything that you could do to continue to bring in some income that's there. Or C, can you get creative? Can you get creative? Can you go to your boss and feel out the situation of, can you work a little less? You know, there's an employee of mine who feels a little burnt out and is interested in doing something on the side, and had asked at one point in time, this is for my previous company, had asked, can they work, you know, 60% of their hours, take a little bit of a pay cut, and they still like their work, but they want to do something on the side. You know, and if you're in a place where you like your boss and things are flexible, they might be open to it, especially in this day and age. So this brings me to my second big idea that I want to cover here. And that is keeping expenses low. Even if starting a business or starting something on the side is not something that you want to do right away, but you eventually want to do, the key is, if you are self-financing this, or even if you're going to raise money, which is probably not a good idea for most people for their first business, if you're self-financing this, you're putting in a ton of your sweat equity into it, the goal is, because we don't know what the future holds and things can get rocky and things take longer than we expect, the goal is to immediately start to cut our expenses. Already during the midst of the coronavirus, people have said that they're not sure what the future holds. And because we can't travel and go out and eat at restaurants and do other things that some people were doing, you're already seeing that some individuals are starting to save a lot of money, which is a good thing. So even whether you were doing that for the coronavirus or not, if you're thinking about starting something on the side, you're thinking about gearing up for a business, keeping your expenses low will help you when it comes to everything else that you want to do. Because if the goal and the name of the game is longevity, can you have enough time to figure it out? I know that most of us, including you who's listening and me, we're smart enough that if we have enough time, we can figure it out. Ultimately, we'll figure it out if we want to start something, or we'll quit that thing because it isn't working, and then we'll try something new, which is also part of the process of pivoting and figuring things out. So what buys you enough room and time to figure things out is keeping your expenses low, keeping your overhead low. I've seen cases and situations where people, let's say a couple wanted to start a new business or idea, and they were very passionate about it, and they did want to leave their jobs, and they said, you know what? We're going to get radical around keeping our expenses low. So they sold their house, and they moved into a much smaller place, and they sold their extra car, and they cut down their expenses, and they cut down their expenses in half, and that put them in a situation where, you know, they're just as happy. We know from our interview with Dr. Lori Santos that we had on Monday, we know that it's not the monetary. As long as we have the basics covered, right? As long as we have the basic money that we need to just have a roof over our head, provide food, etc., we know that more money doesn't mean more happiness. And actually, that's one of the main reasons that people do start things on the side, is their why in business is just creating something, trying to birth something, seeing if they have the ability and skill set to do it in the first place. So anyways, I digress a little bit. So keeping your expenses low, my big action item on that is that if you have never embarked on a true budget, a true budget means that at the beginning of the month, you're telling every dollar where it's going to go, instead of looking at the end of the month retroactively saying, where did each dollar go? How much did I spend on each thing that I wanted to do by looking at your credit card statement? And one of my favorite methodologies for that is Dave Ramsey's system. Dave Ramsey has a Financial Peace University, and he has a Total Money Makeover. That was a book that completely changed my life and actually had me turn budgeting into something that felt fun, because I had less stress and anxiety, even though I was making decent money coming out of dropping out of school and starting my first business. I wasn't managing it properly. So I would get into financial challenges that were there. And it's only until things got really bad and I decided to look for resources and answers that I came across his book. And that was crucial in helping me gear up for my second business, helping me cut expenses, cut, pay off a small amount of debt that I ended up having, and save, so that I was ready to invest in the next business opportunity that I was looking for. So keeping expenses low and going on a true budget, which is telling your money where it's going to go in advance, and getting on some sort of cash management system, whether that's an envelope system or a debit card system, and getting away from credit cards. Dave Ramsey, you could look it up, Total Money makeover. Okay, big idea number three. What is the goal? The question becomes, what is the goal when it's your first business that you're starting? What should you be shooting for? Now, sometimes people have all sorts of really weird ideas around business. Like, I'm going to do this business to become a multimillionaire, or do this or do that or whatever it might be. Nothing wrong with having those goals that are there. But in the beginning, really our goals should be thought of as just covering a percentage of our expenses. Because if the name of the game is longevity, if the name of the game is having enough bats where you can ultimately figure it out, and we know that things take longer, most things in life take longer than we expect, which means that our goals, your first financial goal, this is the big idea number three, your first financial goal should be to cover your base expenses. So let's say you have a new business and you're trying to figure out, I talked to two people the other day. One was a gentleman who's thinking about, he has a day job, and then on the side, he's thinking about becoming a coach and a speaker and wants to lecture at different places. And if I was him, I would be thinking, instead of like, how do I make my ideal income one day, which is good too, that's a good goal to have, I would think, what amount of money do I need to bring in, keeping taxes in consideration, what amount of money do I need to bring in through this business that allows me to cover my expenses? And the first goal could be covering 25% of your expenses or 50% of your expenses, and then ultimately working yourself up where if you're starting something new and it's covering 100% of your expenses, that can give you the courage, if you've been doing it for a little while, to potentially leave your day job if you want to, right? So if we think about covering our expenses through the next thing rather than trying to make $1 million, which is fine, it's a great goal. I want everybody to have financial abundance in their life and work towards it. It's just that sometimes we tend to be a little bit unrealistic when it comes to business. Especially our first business and our goals that are there. We put pie in the sky, big goals and dreams, which are great. And we should work towards that. Especially if your motivations are the true motivations, which is you want to give back. You want to help people. You want to employ people. You want to give back to charity, whatever it might be. I think financial abundance is great. And I want people to have it through creating whatever mechanisms they can create. And I want people to give back as much as they can give back too. So instead of having these big lofty goals, think about it in terms of, what would it take? How much do I need to charge in this new coaching business to cover 50% of my expenses? Okay, great. And then you have something you can work towards, and you do the math, or you put a little budget together for your new business, and you say, okay, great, I have to charge, you know, $100 per session. Or for this new product I have, you know, how many do I need to sell? Or this new service that I want to offer, how many clients do I need to have to cover, you know, a percentage of my expenses all the way up to my 100% of my expenses, especially if it's something that you can do on the side. That way, what I've had a lot of people do very successfully in my life is, let's say they like but don't love their day job and they're starting something on the side, what they do is slowly they get to a place where they put more and more time into their side thing that they want to do, or their new business idea, and they're putting a little bit less time if their job is flexible, or they get to a place where their new business is covering, let's say, 50%, 70% of their expenses, but they can't spend any more time on it because they have their day job and they feel like they have more courage to leave their day job. That is a better place to be in, because if you know that your new business can cover at least a significant portion of your expenses, and you also have some money saved up, and you've paid down or minimized your debt as much as you possibly can, then you're going to be in a much more comfortable place when it comes to actually being successful in this new business. Remember, for every one story you read about somebody who bet the farm and put, you know, their new business idea on like 16 credit cards, for every one story you hear like that, there's 1,000 more stories of people who did that who fell flat on their face. So that's why I say go conservative, play it safer, and just give yourself enough time to figure it out. Number four, the four big idea. Focus on your MVP. That's M as in Mary, V as in Victor, P as in Peter. What is an MVP? An MVP is a minimum viable product. It's a term that we use in the tech world, especially when it comes to software development. And I think there's a couple books that are written about minimum viable product. There's a book called Lean Startup. I'm blanking on the gentleman's name who wrote it. An MVP is the most basic version of your idea that you need to be able to launch. I was on the phone the other day with somebody from our podcast community, and they were saying that they, actually this individual was a doctor. So by the way, you know, people, whether you have a ton of education, you're a doctor, whether you have no education, you dropped out of school, whatever it might be, or anything in between, know that business, because it's something that we weren't really taught about in school, because you can only really be taught about it by people who have gone through it, everybody struggles with this. So have some self-compassion if you're feeling challenged right now and you're not sure what steps to take or you're feeling nervous. A lot of people, I would say doctors especially, doctors and lawyers, a lot of my family are doctors and lawyers, so I can speak to it specifically. You know, they often get in trouble because people think they're so smart. They should know how to do a business. Well, that's actually what gets them into trouble. They think they are so smart and they end up not doing great in business, because business is a little bit different than medicine. It's not just about the knowledge and information that you know, it's about the wisdom that comes in dealing with fear, which is something that we all deal with. So minimum viable product. This individual, this doctor was telling me on the phone that they want to transition from working at another practice that they're in to having their own telemedicine practice that focuses on brain health, which is how we got connected. And I thought it was a fantastic idea, and this person's obviously passionate about that. But when I was hearing all the list of things that they were getting ready to build to eventually launch into that telemedicine practice, I was hearing the cha-ching sign add up in my head. You know that cha-ching sign? That's the cash register sign. And in this case, the money was coming out. The money was not coming in. He was listing a lot of things that were there that I felt were not needed for him to start his thing, like a very expensive website versus a more simple website to at least test out the proof of concept and to have that minimum viable product. You know, complicated video production, whatever it might be. Often in times, especially if it's our first business and we've never gone down this rodeo, we make things more complicated by making a list of things that we think have to be done. Or even worse, we listen to some business guru or some ad on YouTube about some complicated software that we need, and we fall for one of these get rich quick schemes that are there, and we end up spending money. Another example of that is, like, if anybody knows anything about MLM, multi-level marketing, you know, your friends sometimes will come to you with these pitches and tell you, you can make so much money if you invest in this Amway business or Quickstar or whatever these companies are called. You just have to buy up all this inventory and this, you know, expensive thing, and then you're going to be on your way to do that. In most cases, we don't need those things. And if we do need those things, you have to ask yourself, is this a right business, first business for you if you've never done it before? So really think, what is the minimum viable product? What's the most minimal thing you need to just be able to launch whatever it is that you're doing? And by the way, this is one of those principles that is not just important for people who are thinking about starting a business or a side hustle. It's also important for everything and anything. I'm involved with a few nonprofits. And for those nonprofits, I'm always asking them, is this necessary? Is this thing actually necessary, that it has to be built in this exact specific way, or have we made it too complicated? What's the most minimal version that we can try that at least helps us find out if we have traction and momentum before we go and invest a ton of more resources into this idea? So this can apply to every aspect of your life. Minimum viable product. There's a few great YouTube videos on this. And again, a book called Lean Startup. It's all about not being fancy. And then also having deadlines. One of the challenges that I see for people who have saved up, let's say, a year of expense and are like, I have a business idea that I want to work on. They often don't go towards the minimum viable product because in their head, because they have all this money saved up and they have all the time in the world, there's a principle that says that the time it takes to complete a project will fill up whatever time is available. So if you have 3 hours to clean your house, it's going to take 3 hours to clean your house. If you have 30 minutes to tidy up and clean up, it's going to take 30 minutes. So if you have a bunch of money saved up that you've earmarked for your new business and you say, I'm going to take a year off from working and I'm going to go build this thing on the side, it's going to take all that money and probably a year to build that thing. And then that's even if you end up making it successful versus trying to launch something in a couple months and not spending too much money on it to see if it's viable, if it has traction, if people actually like it, if people want to work with you as a coach, if people want to buy this product that you are creating. So that's the fourth big idea is embrace minimum viable product. Okay, number five. Number five on the topic of five things I tell anyone who's looking to start a business or a side hustle, it's this. In most cases, know that even in the best case scenario, it will take time for things to work out. Be patient and plan for the long term. This idea takes us full circle to the beginning. All my strategies, especially the ones around money, around being fiscally conservative in your own life, cutting down expenses, getting on a budget, minimizing your debt, paying off your debt, you know, if you're thinking about one day starting a business, so that you have more room to figure things out. More room means more time. If you have time, you'll figure it out. And the psychological component and the mindset that will help you in that process is embracing this idea of patience. You know, there's this great quote, many of you have heard it before. It's been attributed to Bill Gates or other people, you know, who knows who came up with it. But it's the idea that we tend to overestimate what we can accomplish in a year and underestimate what we can accomplish in 10. Often if it's our first business and we have an idea and we go and pursue it, we're like, oh, in a year, 2 years, I'm going to be killing it. It's going to be successful. You know, we think of the best case scenario. But just knowing that creating something new often takes time because you look at the stories of people who actually have done it. You study them. You see what worked. It took a lot longer than they thought to get started. And often it took a little bit more money than they thought to get started. If it was easy, then everybody would be doing it, of course, right? But it takes time and it takes energy and it takes a while to actually make something successful, whatever that thing is. So knowing that, if we come in and we have patience and we plan for that, we don't give ourselves only 6 months. You know, I was on the phone, this was 2 weeks ago with somebody who said that they're gonna quit their job and they're gonna go into offering some sort of consulting businesses. I can't remember which it was. And they said, I'm going to quit my job fully. I like it. I don't hate it, but I don't love it. So I want to do something that I'm passionate about. And I'm going to quit my job. And I've given myself 6 months because then I don't have any more money after that. 6 months is a very short period of time. You know, 6 months is a very short period of time to try to make something work and build up a new business successfully and deal with all the fear and anxiety and the imposter syndrome that ends up coming up when people embark on this journey. So the question becomes, if she had patience and wasn't rushing it, does it really matter if it happens in 6 months or in a year or in two? She's looking to create a life that is meaningful for her, do great work and earn good money in that process. You know, that's going to take time. Very few people have that. And not that everybody needs that or should even want that. I'm just saying that very few people have that. So it's going to take time to create that there. So if we can embrace patience and know that from the beginning before we get started, then as long as we give ourselves enough time, we can make it happen. All right. So these are five big ideas, all similar themes that are connected to each other that are related to things that I tell anyone looking to start a business or a project or idea that matters to them. I send you encouragement. I send you enthusiasm. Connect with a bonus tip that I didn't include inside of there is try to reach out to people who have been successful and ask them honest questions about what it took for them to build whatever it is that they're going to do. Same thing goes in fitness, in life, in health, in wellness, in every aspect. Go find mentors. And a mentor doesn't mean somebody who's famous and has a very visible public platform for teaching this topic, whatever it is that you want to learn. It could be just somebody in your neighborhood or community who's been a little bit successful. If you're interested in real estate, where there's a lot of ads these days about telling people how to get involved in real estate, which 99% is junk. Actually go find somebody, you know, go to your church community, go to your friend community, go to that and say, who is actually successfully doing real estate on the side and is actually, you know, has done it for some time and is successfully long-term. Those people that are successfully long-term in real estate that have been doing it for a while, they're going to teach you something different than people who are trying to sell you a get-rich-quick scheme of whatever idea that it is that they're going to offer. So find mentors, surround yourself with good community, and keep on investing in your mental health. If you like this podcast, text me, 302-200-5643, 302-200-5643. I've been responding to more people than ever since I've been on this new platform community, which has been working out really great. Hope you found this episode useful. It's something different. It's something new. If you want more business podcast, let me know. I'd be honored to hear from you. Wishing you a beautiful Tuesday.